A word's come to us this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Nothing in all creation can hide from Him. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain all that we have done. That is why we have a high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it. This is the word of God from the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we hear these words, there are several messages that we get from the scripture this morning. First, we see a message of secrets being exposed, and then we see change associated with that. But I invite you to think just for a minute. The last time maybe you were in a grocery store or a department store, like a Walmart or a Kmart or something along those lines, and you're standing there in the line waiting to check out, and you look over and you see all those countless magazines on the shelf, the tabloids, that have all of these wonderful truths, or at least they believe them to be truths, all these wonderful truths about people, and most of them are famous people. You see these headlines, such and such did this, or this, or that, and you're sitting there saying, wow, I mean, how bad is that? And in most of these cases, when we see those headlines on these tabloids, some deep, dark secret has been exposed, or at least some perception of a deep, dark secret has been revealed. Imagine what it must be like to be one of these actors or to be one of these politicians that have to be worried daily about the dirty laundry and what dirty laundry might be revealed publicly. What is it that the tabloids are going to print next, or is going to hit the news, or is going to hit the newspaper? Well, I say to you just for a minute, let's put ourselves in their place. Maybe we look at our own lives for a minute. Is there something in our past, or something in our present, or something today that we may not want others to find out, that is kind of back here, that we've kind of insulated it from everything else and we don't want other people to know about it? Or perhaps we know of someone who leads a double life of sorts. Maybe it's us carrying around secrets. We're this person in one place, and when we're over here, maybe we're somebody different. Or maybe there's been some misstep that we have taken, or we know of another that has taken, that has remained hidden for a long period of time. But in essence, what I'm talking about, and like I was going to share with the children this morning, maybe we got caught with our hands in the cookie jar. In other words, it was somewhat okay in our own eyes until we got caught, and then once we got caught, or once it was revealed, the truth was known, then there were consequences to pay for it. Well, brothers and sisters, what I tell you this morning is the truth. The truth is that someone already knows what those secrets are. The truth is that we have already been exposed, and that there are no secrets that are hidden. Because as we read the word this morning, it reveals this. It reveals that nothing in creation can hide from God. Nothing in creation can hide from God, and we have already been exposed to Him. We're all naked to the core. In other words, everything, all the layers have been peeled back. There's no barriers that God cannot penetrate. I mean, maybe we can put up these insulating barriers for our friends and our families so that people don't know. But all of these layers have been peeled back as we stand naked and exposed before His eyes. And we don't need to worry, though. We don't need to worry about what other people will think. Now, granted, there's relationships and there are issues that come about, consequences that come about. But the truth is, we need to worry about what God thinks. Because as we read this morning, we must worry about our God to whom we must explain these things, rather than being so worried about hiding things from our friends and our family. Because God already knows. See, we're thinking down the road if there's something that I might have to explain. Well, that's down the road. Right now, something else needs to be happening because God already knows what it is that is on our heart. He knows our innermost thoughts. He knows our innermost desires. He knows everything about it. He knows our hearts. He knows both the good and He knows about the bad. There is nothing that remains hidden. As we have heard before, your sin will find you out. Your secrets will find you out. Those things that have caused pain in our lives don't necessarily go away unless we reconcile those things. But what our God knows, what our God knows is that He knows what we long for with our human nature. He knows those places where we have strayed. He knows those places where we have stumbled a little bit or taken missteps. He knows those places where we have not been as obedient as we should. He knows those places where we have sinned. And you know, all of this is okay because God still loves you. God still loves all of those that He created, all of those that He calls His children. Just because your child makes a mistake, it doesn't mean you love them any less. It may be that you want to help or to gently push or guide. And maybe sometimes just grab them and drag them if they don't want to listen. But we have to understand that our God loves us no matter what it is that's in our past. A week or so ago, we talked about how some of the most damaged people in biblical history went on to do some of the greatest things because God still loved them and God never gave up on them. People can give up on God, but God does not give up on us no matter what it is that we've got in our closet. No matter what it is that we don't want to share with other people. But God also knows this. He knows where we have loved. God knows where we have served. And God knows where we have glorified Him accordingly. But we just simply must remember that we cannot hide, and the hidden secrets have already been revealed. Hidden stumbles, hidden mistakes have already been revealed to our God. And that's okay because God understands. And God stands ready to lift us up and to help us to grow from those places of brokenness, those places of hurt, helps us grow from those places that we have made mistakes. But what we must remember is that we are accountable to our God. We're accountable to our God, and we're called to remember that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is a friend. On Him that we sing, Jesus is our friend. I mean, we talk about that relationship. For our God loves us so much. And we can't say this enough, that He sent a Son. And that through the giving of His Son and the willing sacrifice that Christ made for us, our forgiveness has been offered and our promise of an eternal future has been made possible. Now that's what love's about. That offering of grace and mercy to a broken humanity, as we have been for thousands of years, that's how much our God loves us. God understands our mortal weaknesses. And Christ Himself even suffered many of the same temptations that we endure ourselves today when He walked on the earth. He knows about what temptation is. He knows how Satan has been good at tempting then and now. It hadn't stopped. He himself was tempted on multiple occasions. And he said no, and he didn't sin. And what he gave to us by being here was that model of how we can live. That model of how we can resist that temptation. That model of how we can resist that sin that seeks to sneak into our lives. What God desires from us, of course, is a willing and committed and submitted heart. He desires from us reconciliation from those places of brokenness that we have in the past. He desires our confession simply that we made a mistake. That yes, we made a mistake. None of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And to acknowledge that mistake and then stand ready to receive the grace and mercy that He has in store for us. Because no matter what it is that haunts us, no matter what it is that we may have just not come to terms with in our own life, God stands ready to offer His grace and mercy to all those who profess Christ as their Savior and earnestly seek to repent of their sins. Now granted, simply acknowledging that we made a mistake doesn't pardon us from the consequences that we might experience as a result of the misstep that we took. But we're reminded that asking forgiveness and seeking to earnestly repent of our sins through the acceptance of Christ in our hearts does open us to receive this act of love from our Father as He extends His grace and His mercy to you and me. But it takes something. Something's got to happen. Something's got to happen for this. Acting upon this opportunity requires from us intentional decision and intentional choice. We must be sincere in our thoughts and in our actions and our intent. As we pray for forgiveness, as we pray for pardon, and as we seek to grow closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We must make the change and then grow in this change. That change, I mean, once we've admitted our mistakes and we turn away from the sin as we're called to do, turn away from the mistake, make decisions out of love rather than anything else, make decisions to conform to the heavenly realm and to the Word of God and to what we know that has been taught to us rather than conforming to the world, making that decision is important as we seek to grow deeper in our spiritual relationship. And growing deeper in our spiritual maturity is something that is intentional. We must focus on it. It doesn't happen. And our spiritual maturity is not going to be automatically bestowed upon our lives without us making effort. I mean, the Bible is a powerful thing as we hear this morning, and we know that there are amazing things revealed to us there. But a Bible that is like this is nothing to us. The words don't come out of this Bible into our minds and into our hearts unless the Bible was open. And we allow the Bible to speak the Word of God. And that's what I talk about intentional change, intentional spiritual growth, intentional faith development. Because as we understand what is being offered to us. We heard the scripture this morning about this being a living power and what it does for us. We understand the Bible, and through prayer and our relationship with God is where we're going to find the answers. We find the answers through these things. We see it said in our scripture that we shared this morning about the Word of God, that for the Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. And it exposes us for what we really are. Now think about that just for a minute. We're going to come back to the living power part. But it is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. and exposes us for what we really are. When we read the Bible, how is it that we feel? And I think that there are places that things are revealed about us as we read the Scripture. You know, maybe I haven't been doing that. Or maybe I could have done something differently. Or maybe I understood the Scripture when I was young in my spiritual growth differently than I do today after I have become more mature in my spirituality. What is it that the Word reveals to us? How is it that the Word exposes who we really are? Because the Word, the Bible, is not just a collection of words that is written for our literary enjoyment. The Word of God is life-giving. The Word of God is life-changing. And it reveals to us who we are, and it reveals to us who He is. And as we read these Scriptures, we are often called to a closer self-examination, and sometimes a very pointed self-examination, that sharp knife cutting deep, that pointed self-examination into our own lives as some of our missteps are revealed as we read the words. And it reveals to us maybe where we're being called to change. But the Bible is also, the Word of God is also full of living power. And it is a living power. I want to say that one more time, and hear this. It is full of a living power, and it is full of living power. That's a difference. Full of a living power and full of living power. First, it is full of God. That is the living power that it talks about. It is full of God. It contains the answers. We know through our articles of faith that we believe that the Scriptures contain all that is necessary for salvation. In terms of direction and instruction and daily life, it's all found in the Scriptures. The Word is full of countless incidents of where God's grace and mercy were being poured out on people. Often those that we may not have thought had deserved it. Countless instances of where God was at work, and also instances of how we were to live. And then the other thing, it is living power. What do I mean by living power? This is our hope. This is our encouragement. This is what can strengthen us with prayer as we face those challenges that we have in life. Knowing that we hold the answers in our hand and through the relationship that we have with our mighty God. Through that relationship that was made possible as we accepted Christ in our heart and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a power in our hand and a power in our heart. And with these things, then we have confidence. We have confidence because we can be encouraged by the acts of our Savior and our God who demonstrated great love for us. We can have confidence because hope is made possible in times of darkness. And we can have confidence because we find a foundation that is steady in times of uncertainty. And we must cling to this Word. We must cling to our Savior unconditionally in times of good and times of bad, in times of the light and in times of darkness. For the Word is our hope, and quite frankly, the Word is our only chance. So what I say to you this morning is that as a body of Christ, we have been illuminated by the light. We have been illuminated by His light. And those that we will encounter along our journey in the ministry and in our efforts at witness, they've been exposed. And we need to help them understand that that is okay. For God already knows. And what we're charged with doing is reminding them that the saving grace of God is available to all, as we read in the Scripture this morning, who come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There and only there will we receive His mercy, and will we find that grace that will help us in our time of need. Amen.